You are listening to rudolfsteineraudio.com. This is a reading of a cycle of lectures by Rudolf Steiner, entitled The Inner Nature of Man and Our Life Between Death and Rebirth. This is Lecture 7, entitled Between Death and the Cosmic Midnight Hour, given in Vienna on the 13th of April, 1914. Today it will be necessary to return to the subject of life between death and rebirth, but now in the light of the ideas developed in the last four lectures. The subject is so vast that much can only be touched on briefly, and some of the things which may not be immediately evident from the images presented will need to be developed later. Anything our anthroposophical friends find incomplete today will be clarified as more knowledge is gained through the science of the spirit. Human beings have laid aside the physical body when they go through the gate of death. The body is given over to the elements of the earth. We might also say that it has risen above the forces and the laws which come from the essential human being between birth and death. Laws which are different from the purely chemical and physical laws to which it becomes subject after death. From the standpoint of the physical world, we hold the view, quite naturally, that the part of the essential human being which belongs to the physical plane has remained behind on, or has been given over to, this plane. However, the standpoint which matters for human beings and for understanding the world of the spirit is that of the individual who has had to go through the gate of death. For him, leaving the physical body is an inner process, one which happens in the soul. For those who are left behind, anything which happens to the physical body after death is an external process. The inmost being, the human soul element of the person who has died, no longer comes to expression in the mortal remains. Nevertheless, when a person dies, the inner experience connected with leaving the body is, you have gone out of your physical body and are leaving it behind. From the standpoint of the physical plane, it is extremely difficult to give a true description of what is taking place in the soul at this time, for this is an inner process, which essentially is enormously comprehensive and of tremendous significance. It does not take long, but it has universal significance for the whole of human life. It is not yet possible to describe the perceptions gained in the soul at that point in a public lecture, for the general public would be quite shocked. Perhaps the time will come when this is possible. The perceptions gained as a new life begins, between death and rebirth, are, in spiritual terms, outer perceptions. They may be described as follows. At first, individuals who have gone through the gate of death feel, your relationship to the world is now completely different to what it was before, and, fundamentally, the whole of your earlier relationship to the world has been completely reversed. To describe the experience they go through, we would really have to say, until they died, human beings lived on the earth. They were used to standing on a solid physical earth and seeing on this earth the things and creatures belonging to the mineral, plant, and animal worlds, mountains, rivers, clouds, stars, sun, and moon. From their particular point of view and through the faculties given by their physical bodies, they have become accustomed to seeing the whole of this the way people do nowadays, in spite of the fact that Copernicanism has shown it to be essentially an illusion. The blue vault of heaven above us is like a shell, covered with stars, with sun and moon passing across it, and so on. We ourselves are inside this shell or hollow sphere. We are at its center, on the earth, together with everything we are able to perceive on the earth. What matters now is not that this is an illusion, with the blue sphere around us, the product of our limited faculties, but that we cannot help ourselves. The limitations of our faculties make us see a blue sphere, as the firmament above us. When human beings have gone through the gate of death, the first thing they must inwardly perceive is this: you are now outside the blue sphere. You are looking at it from the outside, and it is as if it has shrunk to a star. Initially, there is no awareness of the world of stars into which human beings are actually expanding, but only of the sphere of consciousness which they had when they were in a physical body, and everything the human faculties developed in that body allowed them to perceive. It is really, though at a spiritual level, rather like the conscious experience of a chick, which is first of all inside the egg, and then breaks the shell and sees the broken shell, which has been its whole world until now, from the outside. The image which passes through the soul at this point is, of course, also Maya, but it is a necessary Maya. As I said, anything which previously made up the content of our conscious mind has shrunk as if into a star. And now, starting from that star, something spreads out which we may call, quote, radiant cosmic wisdom, close quote. I spoke of this radiant cosmic wisdom in the last lecture, saying that we have it in abundance. It shines and glitters toward us as if from a fiery star, not blue now, like the firmament, but fiery, with a reddish glow. The fullness of wisdom radiates from it into space, and first of all, being highly mobile in itself, shows us the panorama of the memories of our last life. Everything we have consciously and inwardly experienced between birth and death presents itself to the soul, but in such a way that we know. You see it all because the star which grows in radiance before you is the background. Its inner activity makes it possible for you to see everything spread out before you in a panorama. This is the way we would express it from the standpoint of imagination. From the standpoint of the inner life, the experience is more or less such that the individual who has gone through the gate of death is now entirely filled with the thought, you have left your body. Now in the world of the spirit, this body is all will. It is a star made of will substance. This will is radiant with heat and reflects to you, who have poured out into the cosmic expanse, your own life between birth and death, so that it is like a vast panorama. Thanks to the fact that you dwelt inside this star, you are able to draw and absorb everything you could from the world when you were on the physical plane. This star of will, which now forms the background, is the spiritual part of your physical body. It is the spirit which enters into every part of your physical body and fills it with its powers. The wisdom which radiates toward you is the activity, the mobility of your ether body. The time when we have the impression that life is presenting itself as a panorama of memories takes only days. I spoke of this also in the public lecture. It is as if the thoughts which became our memories during life on earth unfold and present themselves once more to the inner eye, EYE, in a panoramic view. We are able to keep it before us for as long as we normally have the power to keep awake in the physical body. It is not a question of the length of time for which we stayed awake under abnormal conditions at some time in life, but of the powers we have within us to keep awake. Some people can hardly keep awake for a single night, whilst others can hold out longer without getting sleepy. This particular power determines the length of time individuals need to go through the whole panorama. We also have the distinct inner consciousness that because the star of will is in the background, the panorama contains the achievements of our last life on earth. It contains what we accomplished in the way of becoming more mature, and have taken through death, as it were, as an addition to the endowment with which our life began. And we have the feeling that this, which we may call the fruit of our last life, will not remain as it was during the panoramic view. We feel as though it were moving away and disappearing into the distant ages of future time. Today I shall speak mainly of the life between death and rebirth, of human beings who have lived the normal length of life and died under normal circumstances. Details relating to exceptional cases will be given tomorrow. Any fruit we have gained in life thus draws away into the distance, and we know in our souls that it somehow exists, but that we have remained behind. We are aware of remaining at an earlier point in time. The fruit of life moves away quickly, so that it will reach a later point in time before us, and we have to follow in its wake. This inner experience of the fruit of life dwelling in the universe must be brought to mind strongly, for it is the basis of our consciousness after death. Conscious awareness always has to be aroused by something. When we wake up in the morning, having been unconscious during sleep, conscious awareness is fanned into life by the process of entering into the physical body and now facing things that are outside us and have an influence from outside. In the situation which exists immediately after death, consciousness is fanned into life by feeling and living our way into the fruit which has been gained in the last life. This exists, but it is outside now. Feeling and living our way into our inmost being, as it was on earth, our consciousness comes alive after death. Then comes a time when it is necessary to develop inner powers, which essentially have had to remain undeveloped during life on earth, because they were then used to organize the physical body, and therefore also our whole life on earth. After death, these powers in the soul must gradually wake up, and some of this actually happens during the days when we are experiencing the panorama of memories. The panorama gradually fades away, and this is because we then develop the powers which underlie the ability to remember, but do not come to conscious awareness in physical life, because they have to be transformed in that life to enable us to create memories. The last great memory, which takes the form of the panorama after death, must die down and fade away. And then something we are not able to hold in conscious awareness develops out of the twilight. Before death, these powers were transformed into the power of memory. Now the possibility of remembering earthbound thoughts in the usual way has been overcome, and they emerge. The power of memory, now transformed into a spiritual power, emerges from a human soul after death, just as powers of the soul emerge in a growing child. As it develops after death, we perceive that behind the thoughts, which on the physical plane were mere shadow images, lies something which is alive, and that the world of thought is full of life and activity. We become aware that in truth a host of elemental spirits is spreading out behind it. Thus we see our memories fade away, and a host of elemental spirits awakening out of the cosmos of universal wisdom to take their place. You may ask, surely it will be a loss for us when the power of memory is overcome and we have something else instead. We do not lose anything, for there is plenty to replace it. Instead of recalling our thoughts as we do in life, we find that those thoughts merely appeared to be memories. Our treasured store of memories now turns out to be something entirely different. When we are out of the physical body, we see the whole of this store of memories as a living, immediate reality. Every thought is a living, elemental spirit. Now we know. During life on earth, you thought it was your own thoughts which came to mind. But while you were under the illusion of creating your own thoughts, you are actually creating elemental spirits. This is the new contribution you have made to the cosmos. Something which has been born out of you and into the spirit now shows itself, and you know what your thoughts were in reality. At this point, you gain direct perception of the nature of elemental spirits. And you do so by, first of all, recognizing the elemental spirits you yourself have created. The memory panorama is the first significant experience after death. It comes to life, however, actually comes to life. And in doing so, it is transformed into a host of elemental spirits. It may now be said to show its true face, and disappears by changing into something entirely different. If, for example, we have died at the age of 60 or 80, we no longer need the power of memory for a thought we may have had at the age of 20. That thought is now a living elemental spirit. It has been waiting there, and we do not need to recall it. If we had died at the age of 40, for instance, the thought would be only 20 years old, and this is clearly apparent. These elemental spirits tell us of their own accord how long ago they were created. Time now becomes space. We have it before us when the living spirits show us their own time signatures. Time becomes the immediate present in these circumstances. Our own elemental spirits were around us in life, and we see them in death. They reveal to us the true nature of the elemental world in general, and also prepare us to understand elemental spirits from the outside world as they gradually enter our field of vision. Those spirits were not created by us. They exist without us in the spiritual cosmos. Elemental spirits of our own creation help us to know others. Just try to imagine how utterly different life between death and rebirth is from the life we know on Earth. Immediately after birth, the human being has no self-awareness. The experiences of an infant are those of the people around him. He has been born, and others, his parents, look at the being who has been born. After death, we do not look at ourselves to begin with, but we see something to which we have given birth at the moment of death. When we enter into the physical world, the outside world is incomprehensible to us, and our own movements and cries and chuckles, too, are really only there for others. After death, which means being born into the world of the spirit, we are first of all in an environment to which we ourselves have given birth. We build this up around us because we have given birth to it. There we have given birth to our world. When we are born into physical life, the world gives birth to us. This then is what happens to our thoughts and what becomes of them when they are our store of memories. It is different with feeling and will. In the lecture I gave on 9 April, I said that anything belonging to the sphere of feeling and will has not yet come to birth in its full reality. This becomes particularly evident after death, because the will and feeling which were in the physical body are still in existence. After a time, therefore, when the star of will and the fruits of the last life on earth have moved away, the human soul lives in an elemental environment which takes its fundamental note from the transformed memories. Living in this world, which in the sense of which we have spoken is he himself, the human being knows your feeling and will are still alive in you. They now have a kind of memory, a kind of link with the last life on earth. This continues for decades. On earth, between birth and death, we have pleasure and pain, and live in our passions, and develop will impulses, because we have a soul which feels and has a will. Yet the full potential of feeling and will can never develop in the body. We may live to a ripe old age, but the truth is that when we die, we could still have had more pleasure, more pain, and could have developed more will impulses. the potential of feeling and will which remains in the soul must first be overcome. Until this is done, we are tied to our last life by powerful desires. We look back on our last life on earth. I have often said that in commonplace terms it is as if we have to be weaned from our connection with physical life. Anyone who is even a little bit a scientist of the spirit will soon perceive the true nature of the power which has to be overcome at this stage, which usually continues for decades. For it is relatively accessible to that science. Every night when we go to sleep, after the experiences of the day, our soul and spirit are outside the body for the period between going to sleep and waking up. We return because our soul and spirit have the instinct to return. We literally hanker after the body. And if you are able to have conscious experience of the waking up process, you know you want to wake up and indeed must want to wake up. The spirit and the soul thus are subject to the force of attraction which draws them to the body. After death, this must gradually fade away and be overcome. It takes decades to do so. And it is the reason why our after-death experiences have to come indirectly during this time, through our previous life on earth. Having given the preceding lectures, I am now in a position to describe some details, some things in more detail, rather than give the general overview, which is all that is usually possible. A more detailed description is only possible when the necessary concepts have been developed. Suppose we ourselves have gone through the gate of death and left someone behind on earth. We are now living in the period where we are able to see into the elemental spirits and develop a feeling for our own reality, knowing that the fruits of our life on earth have drawn away into the distance. The connection with that life on earth continues, however. Let us suppose we have left behind someone very dear to us. Our own elemental creations help us to become accustomed to perceiving the elemental spirits which others have created by having thoughts. Thanks to our own elemental spirits, we gradually learn to see what those we have left behind are thinking. We see the thoughts which live in them, for these present themselves to the inner eye, EYE, in mighty imaginations. We are therefore able to connect much more with the inner life of the person concerned than was possible in the physical world. We were not able to perceive the thoughts of others when we were in physical bodies. Now we are able to do so. But we need to recall the feelings we had in our last life on earth and relate to them. We have to be able to feel what we felt when we were in a body. This feeling must linger on, and this will give life to a relationship which otherwise would merely be like relating to a picture representing the thoughts of the other person. A living connection is thus made through our feelings, and fundamentally speaking, it is the same with everything else. You see, it is a process of working ourselves out of a condition in which we still have to draw on our last life on earth for the powers we need to enter into a living relationship with our spiritual environment. The connection with that life on earth must still be there. We love those we have left behind, and the thoughts which live in them appear to us as elemental spirits. We love them because we ourselves are still depending on the love we had for them during life on earth. There is something which goes against the grain in using expressions such as the following, but some of you will understand what I mean by saying, life on earth. Not the life of thought, but the inner feelings imbued with will impulses with which we are still connected, becomes like an electric relay system through which our own inner being can perceive and relate to the life of the spirit which surges around us. We really feel ourselves living further on into time, rather like a time comet, Our previous Earth life has become like a kernel which develops something like a comet's tail extending into the near future, and we live in that tail. We are still connected with our life on Earth, insofar as it is filled with feeling and will. Out of this experience, something must be born in the inner life which is not immediate feeling and will. The powers of feeling and of will, which we develop in the physical world, owe their form to the fact that we are in a physical body. When the soul is no longer in a physical body, it must develop other faculties which lie dormant during physical life. With the effect of feeling and will lingering on for years, the soul must bring the powers of desire with feeling or feeling with desire to maturity, which it can use in this connection in the world of the spirit. We know that our feeling and our will are alive in the soul, but essentially they do not help us after death. They must gradually fade and die away. They do so after a period of some years. But something must develop in the process which can be of service after death. Our thoughts, then, live outside us as elemental spirits. The feeling and will which formerly lived in us would be of no use to us in this world, which we ourselves are and which is outside us. We must, and indeed do, gradually develop a will which pours and streams out of us and seethes and surges toward the place where our living thoughts are. It enters into them, because feeling, which is entirely inside us during physical life, is born on the waves of the will. Out there seethes and surges the ocean of our will, and on it floats feeling. When the will encounters an elemental thought spirit, the collision which occurs sets feeling aglow, and we become aware of this rebound of our will as an absolute reality in the world of the spirit. What I mean is this. Let us suppose there is an elemental spirit in the spiritual environment. When we have worked our way out of the condition which must first be gone through, the will, which is then coming from us, surges toward this elemental spirit and is thrown back when it comes up against it. It returns to us not as will, but as feeling, streaming back to us in the ocean of will. Our true self, poured out into the cosmos, lives as feeling which returns to us on the waters of the will. This is how the elemental spirits become real to us, and we gradually become more and more aware of our spiritual environment. But another power must also develop. This lies dormant in far deeper layers of the soul than feeling combined with will, or will combined with feeling. It is the creative power of the soul which is like a light which must shine out into the world of the spirit. With this we shall not merely see the objective thought spirits which are alive and active as they return on the waves of the will ocean, but also have the world of the spirit illumined with the light of the spirit, a creative spiritual power of light gradually awakens in us and goes out into the world of the spirit. You see, when we are in a physical body, feeling and will, which are like brother and sister, are two distinct entities. When we have gone through the gate of death, they are one. The creative power we radiate into space in the world of the spirit, if I may call it space, for it is not really space, I have to use the term as an analogy to help you to understand how things are in that world. This light of the soul lies dormant deep down in us, for it is connected with something we cannot and must not know about during life. It is then redeemed to become the light which illumines the world of the spirit. In physical life, this principle must be transformed and used in such a way that our body is truly alive and the bearer of consciousness. Deep down, below the level of consciousness, This power of light is active in the physical body, organizing both life and consciousness. We must not allow it to enter into earthly consciousness, for this would rob the body of the power which organizes it. Now, when we do not have a body which needs to be taken care of, it becomes light of the spirit, radiating, illuminating everything and filling it with glittering light. These words signify absolute realities. Thus we gradually come to be at home in the world of the spirit and experience it as a real world, just as the physical world is real to us here and now. Our work gradually takes us to the point where we truly have, as our companions, the souls of those who have died, insofar as they are living in the world of the spirit. We live among them, just as here in the physical body we live among other bodies. When we penetrate more and more to the true inner essence of spiritual science, it sounds foolish to us when someone asserts that we shall not meet again all the people whom we knew in life. It sounds as foolish as if someone were to say that we do not find any people when we come to Earth at birth. People are here, all around us. For someone who has knowledge of life in the spirit, it is as if someone were to say, the child grows into the world, but it does not see people. This is obviously nonsense. It is equally nonsensical for people to say, when we enter into the world of the spirit, we do not find again all the souls with whom we were connected, nor do we find the entities of the higher hierarchies. We gradually come to know them just as we come to know minerals, plants, and animals here on earth. The difference is that here we know that when we see or hear things, the possibility of doing so, of using our senses, comes from the outside world. In the world of the spirit, we know that the possibility lies in us. The element we may call the radiant light of the soul streams out from us and shines both on and through everything around us. Thus we live on into the time which may be called the first half of life, between death and a new birth, going through the two stages of which I have also spoken in the public lecture. One of these takes years. Letting the light of the soul shine out, we relate to the world of the spirit by perceiving the spirits and the souls around us. This gradually fades, and we feel you are now less and less able to develop the power of light in the soul and must allow it to grow dim and progressively darker in a spiritual sense. The result is that you see less of the spiritual entities. As time goes on, this stage alternates with times when you say to yourself, the spiritual entities are all around you, but you are becoming increasingly more solitary. All you have is the content of your inner life, and this grows all the richer the more you grow unable to illumine the entities around you. There are periods of spiritual sociability and periods when we live over again in the soul what we experienced during the sociable period. They alternate like the swing of the pendulum. During times of spiritual solitude, we know everything you experienced all around you was indeed there. You know about it. Now, however, you have only echoes of it. We might say that during the periods of solitude we have memories, but this does not entirely meet the case. Let me try, therefore, and present it to you from another point of view. The experience we have is not as if we were remembering what we experienced in the world of the spirit, but as if we had to produce it all over again at every moment. It is a process of continuous activity. But you know that whilst the outside world is out there, you need to be alone with yourself and in continuous activity. What you produce is the world surging around you, beyond the shores of your own being. As we live on during the first half of life, between death and a new birth, and approach the middle of this period, we feel the life of inner solitude grow richer and richer, with the periods when we look out into the spiritual environment getting shorter, as it were, and dimmer, until we reach the midpoint of life between death and rebirth. I've tried to represent this, quote, cosmic midnight hour, close quote, in my last mystery play titled The Soul's Awakening. This is the time when the inner life reaches its greatest intensity, but we no longer have the creative power to illumine our spiritual environment. Infinite worlds arising out of our own being may fill our spirit, but we know of no reality of being other than our own. This is the cosmic midnight hour which comes at the midpoint of life between death and a new birth. Now comes the time when the longing for a positive creative power arises. We have an infinitude as our inner life, but the longing comes to have an outside world once more. Conditions differ so much between the world of the spirit and the physical world that longing, which is the most passive of all powers in the physical world, where the object of our longing rules our life, is the opposite in the other world. There it becomes a creative power. It changes into a new kind of inner light that will give us an outside world, which, however, is also an inner world, for our eyes are opened to our earlier incarnations on earth. These now spread before us, illumined by the light born of our longing. There is a power in the spiritual cosmos which can illumine those past lives for us out of our longing and let us experience them. One thing is needed for this, however, in our present cycle of time. I have told you that during the whole of the first half of life, between death and rebirth, we alternate between inner life and outer life, solitude and spiritual sociability. To begin with, conditions in the world of the spirit are such that each time we return to the state of solitude, our inner activity is to recall what we have experienced in the outside world. This brings about a state of consciousness which spreads over the whole world of the spirit, as though on wings of infinity. The wings are closed up again in the period of solitude. One thing must remain, however, irrespective of whether we spread out over the great world of the spirit or withdraw from it. Before the mystery of Golgotha, the powers which connected human beings with primordial times enabled them to have firm coherence of ego and not lose it. This means that it was possible to remember clearly at all times that in this life on earth you were an capital I. This memory must continue through the periods of solitude and sociability. Before the mystery of Golgotha, provision was made for this through powers of heredity. Now, however, provision can only be made if a connection is maintained between the fruits of our earth life, which we felt move away from us as soon as we left the physical body, and the inner fulfillment which can be ours because Christ has poured himself into the earth's aura. If we fill ourselves with Christ's substance, this will enable us to remember our ego through the transition from life to death, and until we come to the cosmic midnight hour. We shall remember it, however much we expand into the world of the spirit and contract into solitude. The impulse coming from the Christ power, which helps us not to lose ourselves, reaches that far. Then, however, a new power of spirit must fan our longing so that new light arises. This power exists only in the life of the spirit. In the physical world, we have the world of nature and the divine principle present in this, out of which we are born into the physical world. The Christ impulse is present in the aura of the physical nature on earth. But the power which comes to us at the cosmic midnight hour and makes our longing shine out and illumine the whole of our past, this power exists only in the world of the spirit, where physical bodies cannot live. The Christ impulse has taken us as far as the cosmic midnight hour, and this midnight hour has been experienced by the soul in solitude of spirit. Cosmic darkness has developed because the light of the soul can no longer shine out from us. Now a spiritual power arises out of the cosmic midnight hour and out of our longing. It creates a new cosmic light, making our own true nature luminous, that we are able to take hold of ourselves and awaken again in cosmic existence. We come to know the spirit of the spiritual world, which now awakens us as a new light shines out from the cosmic midnight hour and illumines our human past. We have died in Christ. Through the Spirit, a spirit which has no body, the technical term for this is the Holy Spirit, holy meaning to live without a body, and does not have the weaknesses of a spirit which lives in a body, our own true nature is reawakened out of the cosmic midnight hour. Thus, we are awakened by the Holy Spirit at the cosmic midnight hour. Per Spiritum Sanctum Revivissimus. The end of Lecture 7.